Praise God. Good morning. Trust that you are well. Indeed, it is a good morning that the Lord has given us to sit at his feet and to hear from him. And we are still in Ephesians chapter 6, and we've been looking at this aspect of spiritual warfare. And today we'll start to look at the armor. And this, the Bible says, put on, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And this is because we are called to stand because it is a warfare. There is a warfare. There is a warfare in the heavens. The Bible tells us there was war in heaven. This war did not just start on the earth. It started in heaven. It started in heaven when the devil wanted to be like God, wanted to ascend to the throne of God. Yet God makes man in his image and likeness. That thing which the devil wanted was given to man. And that is why the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has been cast down to you, and he is full of wrath, and he knows that his time is short. So the enemy comes to fight anything that is of God, anything that represents God. That's why he fights man. That's why he fights marriages, anything that represents Christ, anything that represents God. The enemy comes to fight it. He wants to create a counterfeit of it. He wants to be worshipped in his systems. And he also imitates the government of God, in that he has his government, he has his rulers, he has his principalities, he has his rulers, he has his authorities, he has spiritual wickedness in high places. But then God tells us that we need to take up the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. One of the things that we established yesterday is that when we speak of the word stand, is about being appointed, being set up in a territory, caused to stand. And we say that we must understand that God is the one that apportions men territories, places of influence, places of authority. For you, it might be in the music industry, it might be in comedy, it might be in business, it might be in soccer or in sports or in the humanitarian world. And there is a place that God will place you and set you to stand. And that is a place where he expects that you shall occupy territory for him. And you see, the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us that since the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, or the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, or forceful men lay hold of it. That means there is a contention, and there will continue to be a contention between kingdoms, because when two kingdoms meet, it is only the greater kingdom that will survive. There is going to be war. That is why anywhere Jesus went and the demons recognized him, they cried out and said, Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, what do you want to do with us? Our time has not yet come. They know that they have a time that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to judge them with all authority and cast them into hell. And so they argue on the basis of that legal basis where they have time. And so Jesus does not negotiate with them. He casts them out. And the Bible tells us he casts them out by the finger of God. So if he casts out demons by the finger of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the evidence of the kingdom of God is also the confrontation of the kingdom of darkness and the casting out of devils, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the deliverance of those that are captive, and also the preaching of the message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. So the preaching of the good news is also an evidence that the kingdom of God has come and it is being spoken about. Then we see armor. When we speak of armor, and I say this is where we have to think of the Roman soldier. And Paul uses, you know, exact aspects that they know in their time to be able to describe this spiritual truth. You know, the Romans were the greatest soldiers of their time. They're the ones who had conquered, and they had all this array of armor. They had the breastplate that will protect their chest. They had the helmets which will protect their heads. You know, they had their feet that had shoes that were ready for battle, sandals that were ready for battle. They had their belt that will tie up everything together. You know, they had the shield, they had the sword, and soldiers were ready for battle, you know. And now we're being told as Christians, then we are to stand. We are to be caused to stand as vessels that will fight for the kingdom of God. And the first aspect of the armor that we are told, it says, verse 14, stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth. Or it even means other versions, having tied up, put on the belt of truth, guarded your waist with truth. When you think about the importance of a belt, anyone that uses a belt will know that when you have put on a trouser that is oversized or that is not fitting, it is possible for that trouser to fall at the least expected time. Or whether it's a skirt or a trouser, all these things can fall if they are loosely fitting. Now, what the belt does is to tie it up and to put it together such that things do not fall apart. So belts represent that bringing together of everything into complete and total unity to enable you that you can be able to run. Think of Elijah. Elijah prayed. And then he sent the message to Ahab, run because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Make haste. Then the Bible tells us he gathered up his loins and he took off. He lifted up his skirt. He gathered it up. That means he was being prepared to run. And when we are called to do warfare, we are told to be ready. We are told to gird up ourselves with the belt of truth. You know, gird up our loins. That means our trousers, the things that could hinder us from running. There are times things that will cause us to faint, cause us to stumble. We are being asked to lay them aside. You see, there is no runner that runs with heavy clothes. You will never meet a competitor running, you know, for the Olympics, 100 meters, and is running in jeans. No, because that jeans is heavy. That jeans is going to make him, you know, not reach his journey. So when you're told to gird up your loins with truth, then you need to ask yourself, what is truth? You see, truth is something that is debated so much in our current world that there are those who think that truth is relative, that, oh, you can have different levels of truth. You can have a white lie, you can speak halfway and all that. But you see, when we speak of truth, we speak of the absoluteness of something that is correct and correct at all times. Accurate. When you speak of something that is truth, you speak of the character of one that is truthful, one that does not speak lies, one that is accurate, one that is in the right standing or in the right direction. Now, truth is very important to a believer because, first of all, you must understand that when we speak of truth, God in his entirety of the Trinity is actually described to us truth. The Father is truth. The Bible tells us Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. That means the Father is full of grace and truth. So the Father is described as truth. The Bible tells us that your words are perfect. You know, the law of the Lord is perfect, that all your ways are true. All your ways are true. All your mercies are truth. That means that the Father, the character of the Father is truth. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man to lie, nor a son of man to change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? tells us that the foundation of God, that God is not a man to lie, that which he has spoken is the truth. It shall come to pass. Jeremiah was told, see, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I have established my word, that God's word is forever settled in heaven. He says he has exalted his name and his word above all else. That means there is something that when God speaks something, when God says something, he has put his integrity on his word, that his word must be fulfilled. So the Father is truth. Then you come to the Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the truth, and if you know the truth shall make you free. When you are aware of who the Christ is, that he is the truth. Bible tells us that when he comes for his final judgment, he is that conqueror of whom on his side is written faithful and true. That means truth. Jesus is the truth. Then you come to the Spirit. The Bible describes him as the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I am going, I will not leave you as orphans, but when I go, I shall ask the Father, and he shall give unto you the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, who shall come to guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. When you think about that, we know that God desires us to walk in him. If we are to walk as our Father, then we must understand that he is truth. The opposite of truth is lying, is deceitfulness. That is why the Bible says that the devil is the father of all liars, that even when he speaks his native language, which is lies. So anything that is contrary to God, anything that is contrary to the truthfulness, to the trustworthiness of God, is contrary to the truth. So there are no variations when it comes to truth. Just like the Father, there is no shadow of turning in him. There is no variation in him. Likewise in God, there is no variation of truth in him. That's why he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, we're not going to be those who will be speaking with one mouth and speaking with the other. No. We are called to live in truth. If we walk in truth, if we believe the truth, if we know the truth, then we become disciples of God that can be effective for the kingdom of God. So apart from truth being God himself and being the entirety of the Trinity, then you have to think of truth also as absoluteness or the completeness of the word of God or of the message of God. That's why it's called the gospel of the truth. Paul, when he rebukes Peter, because Peter was not living according to the gospel of the truth, because when the Jews were, before the Jews came, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when the Jews came, he stopped eating with them. Then when Paul says, when I saw that he was not acting according to the truth of the gospel. Truth is also what God desires all men to come to a knowledge to. 1 Timothy 2 verse 2 says that God desires that all men be saved, up to verse 4, and that they may come to a knowledge of the truth. That means that knowledge is the epignosis, the complete and accurate knowledge of God, that God wants each and every man to come to a knowledge of the truth. Salvation is one of it, yes. But if you must come to fullness in God, if you must come to receive the blessings of God, then if you must come to be made free, then you must come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is that entirety of the body of knowledge of what God has done in Christ for us, of our reality in Christ. When our Bible says that you have been justified, you are justified, you are glorified, you are sanctified, you are glorified, and you shall be glorified. That means that God is saying that there are things that he has established in truth for you as the believer. That you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you know such truths, then you shall not fall prey to the trickery of the devil. When the devil has attacked you, whether in a dream or in a sickness or in something that twists your faith in God, twists your reality, and you're wondering, is God real? Is God there for me? Why did God allow me to go through this? When the devil takes you through shame, you know, maybe you've messed up, you've sinned. Then truth is what comes to bring you back to the reality of God. Truth tells you that God sent his son to die for us. He demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. Truth tells you that we were washed with the precious blood of Jesus, that is what we were in the past. We were sinful, we were deserving of judgment, but now we are brought to a knowledge of the truth. We are brought into the light. Truth tells us that we are no longer under the dominion of darkness, but we are brought to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son, of his love, that we are in the kingdom of God's love, that we are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that our sins are forgiven. When we come and speak the truth, then we know that we have our union with Christ. We are joined together with him. We died with him. We were raised up with him. We ascended to heaven with him. And today we are seated at the right hand of the Father with him on his throne, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities and forces of darkness. Truth is what makes us free. And that is why you can see it is very important to teach people. When people don't have the facts, when people don't have the knowledge of the truth, then they don't even know how to keep their blessings. They don't know how to keep their healing. You find someone was crippled, they were prayed for, but then after some time they go back to that state. They were healed, yes, for 1 or 2 hours or for a day they received that healing, and for sure that healing was true. But you see, when demons leave a person and they go, and go to arid places seeking rest, after some time they ask themselves, they say, I will go back to my home and see if it is still ready for occupancy. So when the demons come back and they found that the house is clean, and that means that there is no occupant, then they go and bring 7 more wicked demons worse than itself and bring it, and the state of that man is worse than it was before. That tells you that the knowledge of the truth is what keeps us in our victory. When you know what God has done, when you know there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, when you know where to find your faith, where to find your comfort, where to find your encouragement, where to find strength for the day, then that is only found in truth. And truth is different from the facts. You see, the facts might tell you that you are sick, but the truth, the reality of God is that you were healed. Over 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells us by his stripes you were healed. Not that you will be healed or that you are being healed now, but you were healed. Healing, your healing was accomplished. Your blessings, you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. That means that you are not looking forward to be blessed, but you are already blessed. When the Bible says his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him, that means that you have been given, not that you shall be given. His divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness. You have all that you need for life and godliness. When you know the truth makes you free. The truth makes you know that you are a son of God. You are a joint heir with Christ. That means that the kingdom has been given to you. It is the Bible tells us that it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He desires to give you the kingdom. He desires that you be established in truth. When you know the truth, then you know that Satan is under your feet. When you know the truth, then you know that witchcraft, sorcerers are under your feet, that indeed they have no ability, and it is you that has been given power and authority to trample over them, to trample over snakes and scorpions. When you know the truth, then you shall know what God says about any situation. When you meditate on the truth, it shall make you prosperous. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the waters that yields its fruit in season, whatsoever. That means whatsoever he does prospers. That means that which you put your hands to do, when you are a man of the truth, when you are a man that knows the truth, a man that lives by the truth, a man that speaks the truth, then whatsoever you do prospers. But the Bible says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows and blows over away. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. God desires that you watch. He watches over your way. Your way must be watched over. Your grace must be protected. Your fire must be watched over. God is our protector. God is our life. What does it mean for us to gird up our loins with truth? That means we don't entertain lies in our hearts. We don't speak lies. We don't speak to one another in lies, because we know that we are for the truth. Let each man put away every lies and deceits, because, but then put on the new man which is created in true holiness and righteousness. We are renewed in the image of God. Let us be renewed in the image of God and set aside all lying, all falsehood, anything that corrupts. You know, one of the things that the Lord hates is a lying tongue. God loves the truth. God is a man of truth. He is truth itself. The entirety of the Trinity is truth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God says there, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because these are the kind of worshippers that the Father is seeking. God desires those that will worship Him in spirit, but also in the truth. That means in the complete and total knowledge, in that accuracy of life, that even your life does not contradict the truth. If you know the truth, then your life shall not be a contradiction. Know who you are in Christ. Know what God has prepared for you in the gospel, the blessings that are yours. And that is why I encourage everyone to read the word of God, to meditate on the promises of God, to know when God has said that, I have set you above your companions, I have anointed you with my oil. When God has set you above, you shall be above only. You shall be the head and not the tail. You are moving forward. You're more than a conqueror. You are set on high. Nothing can shake you. You shall never be forsaken. I was young and now I'm old, that I have never seen the righteous forsaken and their children begging for bread. Then you know that your Father is working it out for you. He wants the best for you. The truth will give you peace in the midst of the storm. The truth will make you sleep even in the midst of a storm. Jesus knew the truth of who he was, the Son of God. That is why he does not need to prove himself to the devil. Oh, if you are the Son of God, jump. I am the Son of God. I don't need to jump. It is written, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to test. The truth will keep you safe in the days of trials. The truth that you hide in your heart is what will keep you from evil. I have hidden thy words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Children of God, gird up your loins, gird up your clothes, gird up your belt, tie yourself up together with truth. It is only the truth that will make you free. You want to be free in life. You want to be free in business. You want to be free in your family. Know the truth. What is God's guidance for marriage? What is God's guidance for business? What is God's guidance for relationships? What is God's guidance for leadership? When you understand God's truth, then you are firmly established in life and also firmly established in all aspects of the spirit. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. Truth will sanctify you. The truth of God is our absolute authority. Yet we also know that there are men who will resist the truth. Paul tells Timothy, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, these men resist the truth. Just because there is resistance to the truth does not mean that the truth should fail or the truth has failed. No. There are those that will oppose, men, evil men, sorcerers, witches, oh, and all their counterparts. They will oppose and their demons, but stick by the truth. Believe the truth, hope in the truth, and you shall see the victory of God. You are a beloved child of God. You are loved by your Father. You are cared for. You are taken care of. You are established. Stand firm with your loins, guarded with truth. When you have truth, then you can run and run your race. Run so fast that they will look back and wonder, what is it? What is it that you have? It's because you know something. There is a truth that you know about God that makes you confident, that you can't be embarrassed. God will never embarrass you. He will never put you to shame. Believe him, stay with him, and look unto him. You will see his hand in your life. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the truth of the gospel. I thank you that you've called us to live in truth. I thank you that you are truth in itself. And in you there is no lie, that every word that you have spoken to us shall come to pass, because you are watching your word to see that it is accomplished, that your truth is perfect. You are perfected in all your ways. Thank you. And I pray that you shall perfect your children today, that which you have spoken, they shall receive it. They shall walk in it. They shall live in the truth. Thank you that we shall be guided into all truth. We shall come to a knowledge of the truth of who we are, of what you have done in Christ for us. And for that we are grateful. I thank you for health. I thank you for healing for those that need it today. I thank you for the blessings of life. I thank you for the breakthrough, oh God. I thank you that you are in charge of everything that concerns us. I bless your holy name. I honor you. I exalt you. I magnify you. Blessed Redeemer, be ahead of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.